We're turning to the book of Obadiah. Tonight we're studying verses 5 to 9. I'd like to start at verse 1 and read to verse 9. But we're going to look mainly at verses 5 to 9 this evening. Obadiah is a book about reversal. The pride of Edom is brought low by the living God. But that's not all. It's not all that Edom will face. Starting at verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Tamar, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. The precious word of the living and true God. Obadiah is about reversal, as I said before we read. And Edom is being plundered here. Plundered in at least three significant ways. Edom's riches in verses 5 to 6. Edom's wisdom in verses 7 to 8. And Edom's military resources, their strength, their army, in verse 9. So Edom's riches, their wisdom, and their strength, their military strength, is being plundered. That's what God is announcing. So we begin tonight with the plunder of Edom's riches. And we hear something that is quite striking because it's a bit unexpected. The Lord begins to talk about the regular operations of his common grace. Someone breaks into your home and you think, that's terrible. How awful that someone would break into my home. But what we don't often think about is how the Lord held them back. The common grace restraints that he imposes in a fallen world. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? You see, what God is saying is that typically, when thieves come into a house, they only steal until they have the things that they want. They don't take literally everything. There's a holding back. And when grape gatherers come to the fields, would they not leave some grapes? There's actually laws in the five books of Moses about leaving gleanings for people in the fields, designed for people to be able to have them. So even grape gatherers leave things in the field. And that's important for us to know. Thieves and grape gatherers leave some. But when Obadiah interposes, how art thou cut off? He's lamenting what is about to happen to Edom. Edom is not in that situation. The common grace situation, the benefits that we enjoy from thieves that only take so much until they have enough for what they were looking for. Now, Edom is in a much more precarious situation. Edom is more vulnerable to what the living God is going to do. He says in verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? Notice something striking. We're talking about Edom. But all of a sudden, the word of God begins to speak in the singular about Esau. It's as if Esau is under the gaze of God's judgment. Esau is being searched. Esau's descendants are acting just like Esau. They have denied passage to the people of Israel when they wanted to pass through their land in Numbers 20. But Esau is going to be searched out. Edom was developing a certain amount of wealth at this time. They had the king's highway, which we read about in Numbers 20, verse 17. That's the highway that the people of God wanted to travel on. We'll just go through the king's highway. But they wouldn't let them. So they had commerce coming through on the king's highway through their land. And we read in 1 Kings 9, verse 26, the King Solomon actually established a navy in Edom. 1 Kings 9, 26. There are other sources that tell us that there was copper there in Edom. But all of this wealth is going to be searched out. This wealth is going to be plundered. This wealth is going to be plundered in a way that's even more significant than Egypt's riches were plundered when the people of God left. Esau is mentioned as a representative of all of these people. It's Esau who's in view. Esau representing all of these people, the people of Edom. And they are going to be searched out. Look at this. When we read Genesis 31, we read about Laban searching and searching and searching for those gods. They were actually in the possession of Rachel. But he searched and searched and searched. And that's the kind of language that's used here. The language of searching. Diligently. Searching the things of Esau. This is the activity of the living God. Not like a thief who just found something and then he runs. Because he has what he wants. He's done. No. God continues to search Esau. He's being searched, and his hidden things are being sought. The hidden things, the most treasured object, the thing of highest value, the place where those treasured objects are stored, like a storehouse, that's what's being searched. There's a parallel passage in Jeremiah 49, verse 10. He uses different words, but it's talking about the same idea. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Esau has secret places uncovered. God is searching. He is able to see, and he is able to search. And Edom is being plundered. All of their material wealth. You see, this was part of their pride. We've gathered some money, and we live in a very high place. We live in the mountains. We live in a place where people can't reach us. We are high up like the eagle. And Edom was proud, even though they were small. Not very significant in terms of their military strength compared to the nations around them. But they had wealth, and they had a high position in terms of where they lived. And so Edom was proud. That's the plunder of Edom's riches. But now we find out that even Edom's wisdom is going to be plundered. Edom has begun to misplace their trust in the things that they have and the position that they have. So even their wisdom is misleading them. Verses 7 and 8 say this, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? What is this confederacy? It's a covenant. It's translated as a league in other places in our Bibles. a covenant or a league. It refers to military allies. It refers to people that were in an alliance with the people of Edom, with the people who were referred to by their representative's name, Esau. Edom was a small nation. They needed international allies to form a confederacy with other nations. Required a treaty. To form a treaty meant that they would pay a sum of money on a regular basis, a tribute, and then they would agree to answer a call to serve in the military for the other nation. In exchange, the nation, the larger nation, would help them out in the crisis. That's the treaty that they formed. But here's the problem. The nations required making a covenant with them, often involving sacrifices, vows, and joining the gods of those nations. This is the problem that the people of God fell into again and again. A covenant with the nations. A covenant with the nations that required idolatry. That is what Edom was getting involved in. They were in way over their heads. Their trust was in Babylon. Babylon was a big guy. Babylon was very strong at this time. If we form an alliance with Babylon, we're set. So they thought they were in a secure position. We have wealth. We have a place in the mountains that people can't reach. And we're in league with Babylon. But see, their trust was all misplaced. When they began to rest in the gifts and not the giver, they completely lost sight of the one who is in control of the nations. The one who is able to use those nations to judge Edom or any other nation, the living God. So this is how it happened. They were in covenant with these nations, and verse 7 tells us, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. They begin to invade, they begin to spread out. And the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. Deception and betrayal. The people that were at peace with thee. The people that ate your bread. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. Now at the end of Genesis 31, I mentioned to you that Laban and Jacob form this covenant. They form this relationship, and they eat bread together. There's a sacrifice, there's a stone monument, there's a heap that they point to as a witness, and they actually form a covenant with one another. That's what Edom was doing, sitting down, eating bread. But the people that they were eating bread with are the people that were going to take them out, the people that were going to betray them. So this is the problem. When you're involved with Babylon, and Babylon makes a covenant with you, and then Babylon decides that they're going to take you out, Edom is in trouble. And that's what the living God is referring to. Then he talks about destroying the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the Mount of Esau. Now, Edom should have paid attention. Edom should have paid attention because they were given wise men. They should have paid attention to what was happening. They should have had wise men who could give them proper counsel and advice. But wise men can mislead. In Deuteronomy 27 and verse 9, someone is sent to Edom, to the king of Edom, to tell them not to listen to the soothsayers, not to listen to the wise people. But you see, Edom was a place of wisdom. They considered themselves to be such a place. In the book of Job, in chapter 2 and verse 11, we find that Eliphaz was from Teman, this place. It's listed as a person's name in some places in the Bible, but it's also a place name. That's where Eliphaz was from. In the book of Lamentations, we find that Uz was a place that is connected with wisdom and the wisdom of Edom. Job was from the land of Uz. This place was historically known for wisdom, but their wisdom, you see, was beginning to fail them because they were in league with a nation that could take them out. They were in covenant with a nation that could destroy them. In Jeremiah 49 and verse 7, the word of God says this, concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Tamar? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? He's speaking about the destroying, the plundering of Edom's wisdom. They've lost their riches, now they lose their wisdom. They lose their wisdom in that day. What day? It's the day for Edom. It's the day that's come in which Edom is going to be judged. Later on, in verse 15 of Obadiah, we find that the day is the day of the Lord. It's a day for all the nations. But Edom has their day. It is the day of the Lord, the day when Edom will receive their justice from God. And wisdom vanishes. Wisdom is no more. God is plundering Edom. Next is their military resources. Verse 9. And thy mighty man, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Mighty men. The warriors. The people who are ready to go serve in Babylon's wars. The military strength of Edom. Dismay. It's a word for being terrified. They are terrified. And more than that, this enemy is not going to stop with simply making them afraid. Because one way that you can fight a battle, if God is holding you back, is you can run up on somebody, you can chase up on them, and then they run away, and then you laugh. Oh, look at that, scaredy cats. Like people do on the playground. But this enemy is not going to do that. They're not interested in that. They're interested in killing. They're interested in slaughter. That's what this verse is talking about. And we hear about the Mount of Esau. It's in direct contrast to Mount Zion. The Mount of Esau, this place of height and majesty, this place of pride, this place of riches and wisdom, this place of military strength, we're in league with Babylon, all being demolished. Mighty men dismayed, terrified. And not just the mighty men die. But look at what verse 9 says. Everyone. Regular people. Edom is being wiped out. Look at Jeremiah puts it this way. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorifieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. For that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There will come a day when Edom, representing the nations, will be a model that we need to see. A model that we need to see of people who are rich and wise and strong with military strength. So powerful. And they glory in it. But that will all be reversed. That will all be reversed because God has appointed a day when the one who truly is to be received in this way is honored. It's the Lamb. Revelation 5 says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the risen one, the one who was dead and now is alive forevermore, he is the one who is to receive true riches, who has wisdom and will receive from the praise of God's people, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. If you want to be exalted in this fallen world, you must be joined to the Lamb. You must be joined to Jesus Christ. You cannot align yourselves with other nations. You cannot align yourselves with other sources of strength. You cannot try to build up treasures on heaven, on the earth. You cannot build them up and try to amass riches that will make you secure. You cannot live by wisdom if it's apart from knowing the living and true God. All of these sources of human glory, represented by the fall of Eden, are designed to show us the path that points us to the only place where we can be truly exalted and find glory in the praise of Jesus Christ. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What that means is your knowledge of the Lord, your knowledge that is found by union with Jesus Christ, is designed to show you loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in your relationship with the Lord. And so we have a contrast here. Contrast between the way that the people who are represented by Esau live and the people who are represented by Jesus Christ. And one day, we will hear that loud voice. And you will hear no voice that exalts Edom. No voice that exalts people who rest in riches or wisdom or military strength. You will hear a voice, a loud voice, that says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And that will be the completion of the reversal of this fallen world, accomplished by the living God through Jesus Christ. And it will be glorious. Nothing that you seek short of that is worth holding on to.